Welcome to Copcast, the podcast of YEP about personal growth and leadership. In every podcast, we will interview an inspiring guest about his or her experience and views in developing skills and capacities of young people. My guests will also give practical tips and recommendations in how to apply their lessons and insights into your daily work and life. YEP is the acronym of the Young Experts Program, a partnership of the Dutch Ministry of Foreign Affairs with the Netherlands Water Partnership. My name is Paul van Koppen. I am trainer and coach at YEP and consultant in the international water sector. Today, my guest is Marion Reiziger, whom many of you know as the program manager of YEP programs at the Netherlands Water Partnership. Marion mentions herself on LinkedIn as Marion is experienced in talent and human resources management, advisory positions and coaching, both in the corporate world as well as consultancies and non-profit organizations. She is creative in setting up new talent and management development programs, very experienced program manager and quartermaster. Marion also has a special interest in art projects. She creates customized and personalized art collages. Starting points in the collages are her experiences of years of living and working in several African countries and her professional dealings and interactions with people, creating special views on people's life stories. Welcome, Marion. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Paul. Welcome in my house.
Yes, we have set up a kind of pop-up studio at your place in Doorn. And I'm really happy to have you in this podcast. Well, we know each other since many years, of course, through our work for the YEP programs, but also our work in the water sector. But before we dive into this, how are you doing in these crazy, bizarre corona days?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult because we are seeing each other today and we have been not seeing each other for weeks, months already. And I miss also the Young Expert, the live trainings that we had in the Netherlands. And I find it difficult. Yeah. I find it very difficult because our program was really on connecting with people and everything has to be digital now and it's different, but we are managing. And that makes me very proud on the YEP team that we are managing to have contact digitally with all young experts in 40 countries. So that makes me happy.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. I also really miss the personal interaction and all the other elements of contacting and yeah. Interacting. Yeah. Although we have also now, we found interesting ways now still to do our best, so to say. But we come to that later, maybe. Before we have a more elaboration about some of the other topics, I'm interested to learn a bit more about your international career. Could you tell us a bit about this?
Ooh, wow. It's already almost 40 years,
40 years.
That I'm working. So if I remember well, I was 22 after my studies that I went to Burkina Faso, where I started as a project manager in rural development projects. And I was amazed. I thought it is for 2 or 3 years, but at the end, I've been working 15 years abroad in Africa, different African countries, and also in Germany. So it was a long time that I was away from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was especially in Africa and in Germany. Yeah. And but you've also been working for large parts in the Netherlands, isn't it?
Yes, I've been working for energy companies and consultancy firms. Yes.
Yeah. I saw your CV in my preparation. So also quite diverse kind of organizations. Eh?
Diverse. Yeah. From really business.
Yeah.
To NGOs, to consultancy firms, to more on knowledge-based organizations. Yeah. So it was very diverse and it was not always planned. It was always on purpose that somebody came to me to ask something.
That's why I was wondering what made you change, because it was really very different backgrounds of those organizations. Was it by purpose or was it just coincidence?
It was most of the time because people asked me that they got to know me in the work. When I was working for an NGO, then there was a big consultancy firm who came to me and said, we've seen you working and we like to ask you to come over to our company.
So actually through your personal relationships.
Through relationships, yes.
So it must have also been sometimes difficult to enter in a kind of new world if you work with a different organization?
Very difficult, because I remember the NGO where I started working was very diverse, men and women. And then I got to work for a technical consultancy firm, and I was the only woman who was working in the company who was not a secretary. So that was really hard.
Yeah, but now, okay, we jump a bit now to some of the tips you like to give. So what did you take from this period? What did you have to learn there to survive? If you try to remember.
The language is always something that you have to learn well.
You mean literally or figuratively?
Both.
Well, yeah.
And the culture was very important, to get to know how to, well, to behave in a different culture. And also more the technical parts, the knowledge on agriculture, on renewable energy, on water. That were the three main themes that I worked in.
Yeah.
And it took some time to get to know really in depth what you are talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, I meant to focus a bit on your last words about stepping into a kind of corporate world as the only women. So, yeah. So what was that specific challenge that you had to face?
It's always, I was more focused on socio-economic elements in the work, and the men were all focused on technology. So, and then it was always, oh, soft skills. Oh, yes, she's a woman.
They were downplayed.
That's why she's talking about socio-economic impact of technology changes. So that was difficult to convince them. And you could only convince them by getting, well, knowing, have the right knowledge to convince them with arguments. If not, they wouldn't listen.
Yeah. And in the end, you managed to convince them. I mean, what was the trick then?
The trick was that, for example, with the irrigation scheme, they wanted to make it happen in a certain place. And it couldn't, because there were some... well, issues from the village and the cultural sector that they said, this is not the right place. And then I said to them, okay, the village won't help you to build the dam. And then it was, yeah, but that is one part of the project. We can't build a dam without their help.
Yeah.
I said, they're not going to help you. And I instructed them to do so. I said, don't do it. Then they will change the place. And they did.
And it worked.
So it is a bit manipulative.
Yeah. Okay. That's nice to hear. Maybe later we can talk about some other examples. But I would first like to know from you, you're also an artist. And you're always sitting in your place. I see a lot of nice artwork around, but it's also on your LinkedIn profile. How has that evolved? Or, you know, why is that important for you, being an artist next to your... yeah, your development.
My
work.
First education was art and art history. So,
okay.
And when I went to Africa with my husband, I saw that art was not something that you could gain money with at that moment. So I thought I have to do something in agriculture or health. So I changed to agriculture economics from a study that I did at Y College. So I changed it. And then I came, after 15 years, I came back in the Netherlands. And then somebody asked me to advise an artist on how to do their marketing. And then I was involved and I got some lessons from this person. And I thought, my first education was art. Why I am not doing anything with art? But in the context of Africa, I found it more important to work on agriculture, health, renewable energy than with artworks.
Okay, interesting. So actually you're an artist who ended up working in the development cooperation sector? Yeah. That's nice to hear. I didn't know that, actually. So in hindsight, is there some kind of regret that you went this journey for yourself?
No, not at all, because the African culture is about stories. People tell stories. And it works very well to work with images from how did it look in the past, how is it looking today, and how is it going to look in the future. And that's always what I'm doing in my artist work, but also what I learned in Africa about how to do education, how to organize mobilization of groups, and always talking about how was it in the past, how is it today, and how will it be tomorrow? What is your wish?
Yeah. Oh,
so
nice.
That's the two elements that I learned in Africa that I'm using in my artwork.
Yeah, I can see it in some of your work. So actually, I could say your international experience has influenced again your art style or your artwork in telling stories.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, well, it's nice to hear this story and this background. Maybe I was also interested, of course, you work now a lot with young people, young experts here, but where does this engagement, this interest with working with young people come from?
It is young people, but it is also women groups. It is also, it is always a special group that I like to work with. And I worked a lot with the young advisors in agriculture development, but also later in my energy company with a young professional program. And young is then, well, not maybe 20s, but it was also 30, 40 ones, but managers who like to be a director in the future. And that was also a young talent group.
So
I'm always interested to see young people develop themselves and to help them a little bit in their development, to get to know themselves.
Yeah, that's a kind of red thread through your career, eh? Setting up management development program.
Yeah, always. Yeah. Always education, training, capacity building, social skills.
And where is that coming from? Have you ever wondered for yourself? I mean,
maybe it's my art education, because it was an educational art that I followed. So that is also where I learned that the youngest I didn't like to give lessons to, but I liked the group of 18 plus. That was the most interesting, the students, and that there is the beginning of my interest in young people.
Yeah, I can see on your face it makes you happy to work with them.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Before maybe we go into the topic of personal growth and leadership, maybe looking back at the Corona crisis, as we call it in the Netherlands, it's ongoing for 10 months now. I'm also curious to hear from you. How have you been able to cope with it or been dealing with it, maybe from a personal perspective or professional perspective? Could you say a little bit about your experiences?
Now, I remember very well in the beginning of January 2020 that we sat together with the YEP team and that we said, well, we have another 5 years of project to go. We are very happy. We are going to continue to improve. And then 2 months later, there was Corona and the young experts couldn't come to the Netherlands and we had to change the whole program to a digital program. And that is difficult because it means that you don't meet people anymore, your own team, you don't see them anymore, and you have to make a program work. And we had a lot of people who said, well, do stop the program for 1 year or 2 years and then we will catch up again.
Did you consider
this? No way. No, you have to continue the program because the young experts all over in the 40 countries are also sitting in a pandemic and can't go to their office. So please, let's continue this program digitally.
And did you have to convince some of the partners?
Or? Yes, even in our steering committee and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, yes.
Okay, but eventually I think you managed, because I know it's been going on, I think, quite well, given the circumstances. And could you give some, let's say, some personal experiences? I mean, in the positive elements or the negative elements, what have you taken from this long Corona period?
Now, of course, you see that your family is very important. You have to deal. You can't see many people, so you have to make a choice in who you are going to see. I have a mother of 88 years old, so her group of people that she could see could be only very small.
Yeah.
So you have to make choices in the people that you are really meeting in during the day and afterwards, everything online.
Yeah,
and a lot of time of reading books and making artwork.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. So it helped you maybe to spend some extra time on those of issues, reading books and art work. Yeah, and from the, let's say, the YEP perspective, have you already felt maybe that it was also a positive experience in now dealing with this Corona period?
Yeah, we have very positive experience, like the YEP online meetups. Yeah. You yourself are one of the moderators in this YEP online meetups. It's really important. That is something that we are going to continue. Yeah. the contacts. We can have more contact during the year between the training sessions in the beginning and after 1 year with all the young experts and also their mentors and supervisors.
Yeah.
So we are, this is something that we have learned that we are going to continue in the program.
So will it mean that in any case, the new training or the new YEP program will change in nature or in character?
No, it will still stay blended learning.
Blended learning.
If it's possible to come back to the Netherlands for all groups, we will arrange it. And we are going also to look at the possibilities to do more regional training.
To organize
more regional training.
I can imagine, yeah. Okay, thanks very much. I would like to go a bit now and focus on the YEP program itself. While many of our listeners will know this, the YEP network will know YEPers, I would like you to tell to our listeners a bit more, how did YEP evolve? What was the starting point? Could you say a bit about the initial stages?
The initial stage was that I was interviewed for the YEP program, that more technical persons were constructing a program for young experts in water and agriculture. And they were completely focusing on more the technical aspects. And I was interviewed then by this team that was making up the program. And I said, this is not the right way. You have to focus on personal growth. You have to focus on leadership. You have to focus on management, but not on the technical part, because all the companies will do it.
So if I understand well, you were interviewed by the people setting up the new program, and you gave them suggestions how to maybe improve this initial design. Is that correct?
That's correct. And that was difficult because they were convinced that it had to be a technical program. And when they searched for a program manager, that was my first time that I wrote a letter to say, I think it has to be different. And I wrote a letter of 3 pages and they were really looking at the letter, what is this? And I made a complete different proposal for a concept of the YEP program.
Well, nice. So actually you're also saying the message is, don't be shy to give your opinion about how it could be better or different. And you ended up as being the program manager.
Yeah, I had my own firm. I was not interested to become the program manager, but I saw the program was going the wrong direction. So then I thought, well, I give them my ideas and they can do with it what they want. But then they asked, okay, come over for 1 year to set it up.
Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Nice story. So we told a little bit already about YEP's mission in my introduction. And how do you define young experts in your perspective?
We had the problem that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs wanted us to work only with young experts up till 28 years old. And then I said no, because a lot of people, even local young experts, they are doing a master study and then they are already 28 and didn't work yet. So I wanted to have them up to 35 or even 40. That's for me still young experts.
Interesting, because we also interviewed Jeroen van der Somme, the director of ACFO. He said the same actually, because a lot of the international YEPers, they have a kind of, you know, lower phase of the education. And and he was also stressing this element, interestingly. Yeah. And what is your vision, or what is the purpose that you like to generate, the impact that you like to make with YEP? What is your view there?
An individual impact is for each young expert to have more knowledge about their own personal behavior, the changes that they can make, the choices that they can make in their work, and more on a group level, the YEP Global Network is for me very important, because I see that young experts can help each other also with career questions, career opportunities, knowledge exchange.
Yeah, so the network is also important, not only the individual development, so to say, but also the network.
Yeah.
And I remember you started in the water sector. Huh? Now you've expanded to the agro food and to the renewable energy. What is more to come there?
Now we hope so. We are discussing at this very moment with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs how we can have more young experts, alumni young experts, becoming an expert in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or on a Dutch embassy, We are discussing this because we have a lot of young experts who will be capable of doing this work, and they don't have enough young people to work in their ministries. We are still talking about health, and we are also going to talk now about an economic program with a direction who is working on economic. And I still would love to have a digital group, a young expert group on digital development.
Working in IT or ICT?
Yeah, IT.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow. So there's still more to come, maybe.
Yeah? Maybe.
Hopefully, yeah. And what would be your vision or your hope that those young experts looking maybe ahead 10 or 20 years would, you know, what kind of impact would they make ideally? Huh?
Yeah, I hope that if you look at different universities, and if you look back and what positions people will become, a manager, a minister, a prime minister, I hope in the future.
That would be your kind of dream.
Would be my dream, that we have helped them to develop themselves in such a way and to know themselves in such a way that they become important in... in their work
And make impact in society.
In society.
I think we already have some kind of pearls already here, or some more nice examples. Can you give some example already where you say, well, this is a nice way of where we have helped a young expert contribute to the career? Or
If I have to name somebody, James Kiseka, Uganda, who is now director of Aid Environment, started as a young expert for Aid Environment and have set up an own office in Uganda for Aid Environment, is still director. We hired him sometimes as a consultant in Rwanda. So that's a very nice way of having somebody working in different countries. Niels van den Bergen, who is now a politician for the Green Left wing in the Netherlands.
He's in parliament.
He's in parliament. Yeah. So there are nice examples of people who can have influence in the society.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, let's go now maybe to the topics of personal growth and leadership, the topic of this whole podcast series. How would you define personal leadership, for instance? This is a word we often come across nowadays. How would you see it?
Yeah, I see it more as something of an example. Your behavior, your way of moving around. If I see now young experts, alumni young experts also, who are asking again for a young expert and taking up the role as a coach, as a manager, and knowing how important it is to have some time free for personal development, I think that is really personal development for young experts, that they show that they are going to do a bit what they experience with coaching and training, that they are offering it also to their team in the future.
So actually, in the sense of really being an example and a leader for other people, that will also develop their skills. And what would you see as important elements or important skills that you would also like to develop with the YEP programs to come to this stage for them to lead or to be an example?
Now, what we try to do is we have now a number of masterclasses who are, some are in depth on water or renewable energy, but others are more on change management, on strength finder, on strategic decisions, on negotiation, on management without power. And with the YEP program, we try through these masterclasses to give them ideas on what are different ways of behavior that you can use in your work. Change management, people don't often know that there's a whole theory around change management, that it is something that you can build up as a project.
Yeah.
They don't know. Yeah. And we like to make them a bit more knowledgeable about design thinking, for example, ways, mind mapping, ways of how you can use different technologies, knowledge in your way of becoming a leader.
Yeah, so it sounds as if you're adding a lot of skills that they are not, you know, given during their education.
Yeah.
Is that a kind of weakness of our educational system?
It is, and we had a lot of discussions with the universities who are participating in the YEP program also, how they can involve it in their curriculum.
But okay.
It's still a point of discussion.
Yeah. And if you would say, you know, we hope that young people can become an example or a leader for others to develop themselves. If young experts would like to pick up this, you know, this vision, this dream, what would you advise them to do if they really want to be their leader? And I'm thinking about a lot of those international young experts that...
Oh yeah, there is one young local young expert in Myanmar who have set up now a small group of 10 local young experts, and to do the same with them what we are doing in the YEP program. That is also leadership.
Yeah.
That's also a way of transferring the knowledge of the YEP program to another group.
So you're saying, you know, just start in your local surroundings. Start small.
Yeah.
Do what you can do.
There is Joanna in Ghana who is, every time she's following a masterclass of YEP, is inviting her friends to follow the masterclass also, to give them also the knowledge that she is acquiring, to give it to her friends.
Excellent.
And so she's building a network of people who are, well, having profits of YEP.
Yeah.
Not even being a young expert in the program.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a kind of multiplier effect of what YEP is generating. Yeah, and then if we look at this kind of, let's say, this dream that we have more young people being able to develop themselves, being an example, a leader for others. What do you think is most important for them to embark on, or what should be their focus? Is it the job? Is it the organization? Is it the study? How could you advise them to develop themselves?
I think the best mix is not being scared to share knowledge and not being scared to ask questions.
Sharing and asking questions.
Yeah. And for example, asking questions is something that people say, oh, I don't know yet, or maybe they find me stupid. But ask questions, and it doesn't matter to whom. It may be to a director, it may be to a colleague, but ask questions and be interested in others, what they can tell you and what they can add.
Okay, and is that something that apparently you think it's not done often enough?
I think it can be done often.
Yeah.
And I hope that with the coaching part of the YEP program, where we have coaches, professional coaches who are talking a lot with the young expert, and their way of working with young experts is asking questions. And I know from a lot of young experts that they say it is very helpful for them. They learn a lot about the way the coaches are asking questions to them.
Yeah, I can see. And what would you then advise to other young experts outside the YEP programs, if they would ask, okay, I don't have a coach, what can I do then?
Some of the things I see is that a lot of my friends, they have sons and daughters, and they're always asking, Marion, could you please talk with them? And I know, Paul, you are doing it also, that we are often talking to young people to help them to make a choice for study or to make a choice for a career. And that is something, ask people who are already experienced.
Or in your...
Don't hesitate.
In your family, you mean? In your friends?
Ask in your own network.
Yeah.
The network of your parents, they have often a lot of good people in it that can help you also.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Well, we come almost to the end of this short interview. I would like to maybe touch upon maybe two issues. First of all, you mentioned also you were involved in women topics, in women groups. Eh? What is your specific interest or engagement in gender issues?
I'm a feminist. Eh? So I have always seen how difficult it is to get, well, in my period of time, to get a good job as a woman, that they're always looking at you. So it was always, when I worked in the energy company Nuon, there were always male directors, 32 male directors. And then I asked them, what is the best talent you can offer me? And they always came with a young guy looking like them. I said, that is you 20 years or 30 years ago. Which women are good in your... And then they said, no, a woman in a management team, I don't like it. And we have to change the way we talk. I said, that was really for me a reason to say, now it's over. That was a drive for me. And I always tried in all work I have been doing and all programs that I've been doing to get to the 50-50 division of male and female.
Yeah,
and Young Expert Program, we also have this.
I know, it is 50-50 for the YEP program, but I know, for instance, in the Netherlands even, and I know in many other countries, it's still a debate. Eh?
It's still a debate, but if you look at the northern Scandinavian countries, we now have 7 female presidents. If you look at the water companies in the Netherlands, most of them have now also female directors. And in the past, it was not even
so we've come possible. A long way already. Eh?
Yeah.
Are we there almost, or is there still a lot to do?
Still a lot to do.
Yeah, and I also know from my work also with YEP, in many other countries that's still the case. So what would then be your specific advice if you look at leadership for young women? Could you say something about this?
Well, I just, with one of our alumni, young expert, Bezawit in Ethiopia, she is now advisor from the Ministry of Water, and I have advised her to build up a network in the ministry. I said there are some really good young women, and she's doing it for water and agriculture, and she's now building a young female network and trying to get the minister to meet the network, trying to get the directors to meet the network, inviting good speakers. And she's now setting it up, so organize yourself.
Wow, interesting. And is YEP able to kind of sponsor or support this?
Yeah, we supported it with knowledge. Yeah. Natasha, one of the coaches who was also director of the female network in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, is helping. And I myself, we are advising how to build it up.
Interesting, very nice, yeah. And maybe the other aspect I would like you to ask is about change management. I think you already mentioned that as well, huh? The importance of being able to change.
Yeah.
And I know you've also been involved in some of the masterclasses on change management. So what is your specific interest in change management? Where does it come from?
Well, I have seen that as a woman, that it is difficult to make a change. And I thought, how am I going to do it? So I did a postgraduate university education for 1 year, and I took the subject of change management and getting more women in management functions. And there is where I've learned about change management, that you can really use it to make a change. That a change is not something that occurs
automatically, you mean?
Automatically, but you can plan and develop a change.
Yeah, and if you talk like this, I also feel, do you also mean then changing maybe the mindset or the behavior of other people, or is it merely your individual
change? No, it's just changing the mindset. It's changing the mindset and then making the difference.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, I think that that's pretty nice to hear. Maybe that's also a nice bridge to the last questions I have, because we like you to mention here or maybe make available for us later on the website your tips and recommendations for further reading on some of the topics under personal growth and leadership. What would be your recommendation as a book or video?
Now, I don't have really a specific book, but I like to read books about politicians, because you learn a lot about their motives, their motivation, their strengths, and also their weakness. So also Steve Jobs or Jack Welch, the older CEO.
The biographies, yeah.
The biographies are really helpful. We have on Netflix The Life on Our Planet from David Attenborough. That's a very interesting film to see, documentary to see. And John Kotter, 8 Steps of Change Management, is my favorite.
Yeah, I know already, actually. This is your favorite author and book, I think, the favorite model. Okay, great. Well, we will make all these references available on the platform. And I think this will end our interview. So, Marion, thank you very much. And the last words are for you.
Thank you, Paul, for the interview. And my last words about Man in the Mirror, a song of Michael Jackson. I'm starting with a man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change.
Thank you very much. Very nice words. Make a change. Marion, once again, thank you very much. This was Kopcast, the YEP podcast on personal growth and leadership, and today we spoke with Marion Reiziger. Thank you for listening. If you're interested in learning more about developing the capacities of international young experts, please take a look at the YEP website at www.yepprograms.com.